I want you to know this morning, hope is not good enough. The fact today that we celebrate Jesus Christ dying on a cross, going to hell and being resurrected on the third day. The fact that He is risen, we know that we can be risen as well. We can have assurance of our salvation. You can leave this place today knowing, like I was 20 years ago, I walked into a church like this, similar. Walked in here, young. Believed I was a Christian, but I didn't know where I would go if I were to die. You see, death is the acid test. The acid test of life is, where will you go if you die? Have you thought about death? We talk about death, especially on Friday, when our Lord and Savior died on a cross. He was unashamed. He wasn't hidden. Just, you know, don't say Christianity is just, well, it's a personal thing. Just leave me alone. No, everything about Jesus was public. Jesus died on a cross publicly. We have to understand what you're ashamed of is not working for you. Your faith has to be real and bold. Do people even know you're a Christian? Are you saved? I want to tell you this morning, there's good news this morning. There's only good news that He's alive today. And because He lives, we live. And death could not keep Him down. The grave is empty today. Like many of us here today, maybe you're not sure today. You're in the right place. God has a plan with your life. God will use, you know, God can use a donkey to get your attention. He can use anybody. He can use a child. But one thing about our God is He's serious about your life. He's serious about everything about you. He created you. The Bible says before you were formed in your mother's womb, God knew you. Amen. He's the God of life. And unlike other religions, Christianity has a founder who transcends death and promises. And His followers will do the same. Every other religion was founded by men or prophets whose end was the grave. That was it. They could only talk about the grave. They could only go as far as the grave. And this is the watershed moment. On the third day, He rose again. Praise the Lord. He's alive. Our God's not dead this morning. He's alive. He's in Kimberley. God has Kimberley on His agenda. I know there are a lot of naysayers about Kimberley. Let me tell you, God loves Kimberley. God loves the people of Kimberley. God has a plan for Kimberley. Kimberley, your sins are forgiven. The blood of Jesus is greater than your sins. God loves you. As Christians, we know that God became a man. He took on the nature of mankind, born of a virgin. He was clothed with mankind that He can relate to us as well. He lived a life, sinless life, but He wasn't perfect yet. He had to suffer. He had to suffer on the cross. And I'm sure if you've been on social media over this weekend, you would have seen something that came up in your Facebook or your TikTok or your Instagram reel. Something would have come up about Christ, about how they've that shroud that they believe is truly Christ. You would have heard about historians, how Jesus' body was whipped, how those Roman nails went into His hands and into His feet, and the suffering and the pain. You can just imagine. I was sharing with my wife yesterday how the one historian really believes that with all the whips that he had, the one, it actually came over his head and plucked out of his eye. It blinded him. This was before he even went to the cross. He was flogged. How many times for you and for me? He had to suffer. Why did He have to suffer? Because of our sin. Because of our sin. What is our sin? It's the things that we do that we don't want to do. It's the things that we keep on going back to that separate us from our God. But this morning there's good news. That He died on the cross while we were sinners. He died for us. While we turned our back on Him, while we hated God, while we were an enemy of God, how we hated Christians, how maybe some of you persecuted Christians like me in high school. We used to laugh at the Christians. We used to mock at them. When a Christian would come down the street, we'd cross the road. So, kom die kerkmense alweer. We weren't all churchified. We're just real. And then we encountered Jesus. We repented. We saw God's goodness. I experienced His goodness, that even though I messed up, even though I kept on sinning, even though I was running from God. Let me tell you something. You can't outrun God's love, and you can't outrun His mercy. God's got your number. You can hide behind the bottle. You can hide behind the bush. You can run away. You can throw yourself into your career, into sport, into alcoholism and drugs, into sex. You can try your best to run from God. Let me tell you, God loves you too much. The Bible says He leaves the 99 and He goes after the one. Listen, there may be one person here today. You might be one person here today that God is trying to get your attention to say He loves you. He's not mad at you. He believes in you. He will call a meeting like this, even if it's for one person, to hear the gospel truth. God loves you. God is lief vir jou. You're valuable to Him. God doesn't make junk. And so we see the power, how Christianity stands head and shoulders above the other religions, because He was the only one who went to the grave and He rose again. We have assurance of salvation. The grave could not hold Him. He lives and He sits today at the right hand of the Father. Today God is alive. He's in heaven. Jesus is seated at the right hand of the Father. And He sent us the Holy Spirit. Die Heilige Gees. The Holy Spirit is with us today. He's here. He's busy moving right now from heart to heart. He's convicting people. Encouraging people. Equipping people. Building each other up. In our most holy faith. So the question this morning that I want to ask every person, and maybe you know it, maybe you don't know, but why did Jesus have to rise again? Why did He have to die and rose again? That's good English or bad English. Why did He have to die and rise again? In resurrecting Jesus from the grave, God confirmed His absolute authority and sovereignty over life and death. Nobody else has done this. Only God can. When Jesus died and He rose again, He was making a statement that He is God. There's no other God. There's no other prophet that died and rose again. There's one, His name is Jesus. There's one, His name is Jesus this morning. He has authority and sovereignty over life and death. And that gives us hope as well. Us who are believers today, that we will die, but we will rise again. When you go to Israel and you see the valley of the dry bones on the east gate, right opposite the temple, it's the most expensive real estate for a grave. It's very expensive. While we were there, there was a very, very, very wealthy Jewish American who just secured one of the last pieces of real estate for a grave. Listen, I want you to know that even if you die, you will rise again. Those who are in Christ will rise again. You don't have to, listen, we have to think about death. I know this is an awkward subject. Some of you came here today just to get Easter eggs or just because somebody dragged you along and you're here. But I want to tell you, God did that with me as well. Many times, minding my own business. And God was busy speaking to us. Not because we're going to die now, but because God has a purpose. He has a plan for your life. The two greatest days of your life, the day you're born, number two, the day you discover why you were born. You were not born just to earn a salary. You were not born just to have children, although that is one of the plans. You were born to worship God. You were born to be reconciled back to God through the blood of Jesus. You were born to receive God's goodness and His grace and His mercy. And yes, we have to deal with a thing called sin. We have to repent and acknowledge that we need a Savior through conviction. I mean, we tried it at school. We used to play the lummy game. Say, okay, if you're going to swear again, we're going to hit you. And then we just ended up with blue marks because sin is sin. That's what we do. But Jesus came to break the power of sin over our lives. Why did Jesus have to die and rose again? The resurrection of Jesus is also important because it confirms who Jesus claimed to be. Jesus claimed through the scriptures When Jesus walked on the earth, he said, I'm the Messiah, I will die and I'll rise again. If Jesus didn't rise again, then it claimed that he was a false prophet. He had to rise again on the third day. If he didn't rise again, he would have been a false prophet. But thank God he rose again. There were 500 witnesses. We have it in scripture. The resurrection of Jesus. Why did he have to rise again? He predicted what he said. In Matthew 16, 1 to 4, he said his resurrection was the sign from heaven that authenticated his ministry. His own claims. Jesus himself said he would be raised on the third day in Mark 8, 31, Mark 9, 31, Mark 10, 34. In Matthew 16, verse 1 to 4, 4 to verse 1 to 4, Jesus constantly was explaining he's going to die and he's going to rise again. He's going to rise again. The resurrection of Jesus not only validates his deity, the fact that he's God, but it confirms the Old Testament prophecies that foretold Jesus' suffering and resurrection. The Old Testament points the whole time to Jesus. You'll find Jesus in the Old Testament everywhere. The Old Testament prophecies are all about the centrality of the gospel of the Bible, which is Jesus Christ. When you come to Jesus, everything changes. Jesus is found in the Old Testament, he's found in the New Testament. If Jesus is not resurrected, then we have no hope. Apart from Christ's resurrection, then we have no Savior, we have no salvation, we have no hope, and we have no eternal life. Paul said our faith would be useless. The gospel would be altogether powerless and our sins would remain unforgiven. I mean, how many of you know the power of God's forgiveness in your life? There's one thing that I've learned over the years is that God is a forgiving God. God is a merciful God. Amen. How many of you know God has forgiven us of all our sins? How many of you know that the blood of Jesus is alive still to this day? The blood of Jesus is real. It works for those who believe it. When faith is preached and people receive it through the foolishness of the gospel. That's why the Bible says we're not ashamed of the gospel because it's the power of salvation. Romans chapter 1. I mean, I don't know about you, but I know I've experienced the forgiveness of God in my life. Not just only on my day of salvation, but there are many times that you and I, we mess up and we go before God and we repent. And we just know in our hearts that God has forgiven us. And sometimes, even us as men, we pluck a tear, we cry a bit, and that's okay. We're not cry babies, but in God's presence, it's okay to be humble and to be broken. Jesus is the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep, 1 Corinthians 15:20. In other words, Jesus led the way in life after death. The resurrection of Jesus Christ is important as a testimony to the resurrection of believers. One day, just like you take off your clothes and they fall to the ground, one day when we pass on, our bodies are just going to die. It's just going to be, then the next step, the family has to put that body into a casket. And while we don't make light of funerals and times to celebrate and honor people in their absence, you must understand, the moment you die, sir, ma'am, there's a place where we go to. And heaven is real and so is hell. Jesus spoke a lot about hell and heaven. Heaven is a real place. And so is hell. And God doesn't want us to live a life separated from him. And the fact that he died and he rose again means that he conquered the grave. He took the keys back, that enemy that Satan stole from Adam in the Garden of Eden. And he overcame. We sang it this morning. Hallelujah. He has won the victory. What was the victory? He broke the power of sin and sickness and disease and death. He broke the power of it so that you and I cannot remain dead, dying. When we die, we will be resurrected in Christ. We will go to heaven. We will stand before God and he will say, come into heaven. He made a way. Why is the resurrection of Jesus Christ important? It proves that Jesus is. It demonstrates that God accepted Jesus' sacrifice on the cross for our behalf. We know what happened. There was an exchange that took place. We should have been on the cross. We should have been one of those two that were on the side of Jesus. What a beautiful illustration of God's grace and mercy. The one cries out to Jesus and the other one mocks him. Like some people, they mock the church. They mock Christianity. Don't be a mocker of the church. If you don't understand something, lay it still. Rather be quiet. But don't mock Jesus. Don't mock his church. Don't mock his bride. The one on the cross, he began to mock Jesus. The other one said, he stopped him. He quieted him and he said, Lord, just remember me. Remember me. And he said, today you will be with me in paradise. Two people, who are you today? Are you a mocker or you are humble to accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior? Demonstrates that God accepted Jesus' sacrifice on the cross. It shows that God has the power to raise us from the dead. It guarantees that the bodies of those who believe in Christ will not remain dead, but will be resurrected unto eternal life. That's why when we repent and we get saved, we get baptized. Okay? Now maybe if you were Christian or you had klein doop, groot doop, I know there's a lot of teachings, but that's fine. I was Christian. Today we're going to dedicate babies, but we're not going to baptize them. We're going to dedicate them unto God. Say, Pastor, why can't we baptize babies? Because the Bible says you must repent and then you must be baptized. Can a baby repent? A baby doesn't know what sin is. But let me tell you something. When I was 19 years of age and I walked into a church like this and I heard the gospel and I realized that I'm falling short of God's holy standard. I've broken the law. I don't know if I'm going to go to heaven. And the pastor preached the message of salvation, that God loves us, that he will forgive us of our sins. And whoever will deny ourselves and follow him and accept Jesus, we will have eternal life. And as a youngster, I raised my hand. I gave my heart to Jesus. And Jesus came into my heart that day. And everything changed. I got born again. The Bible came alive. God began to speak to me. God changed me from the inside out, not from the outside in. I began to see things differently. Amen. I wasn't just chasing my career. And the next thing I knew, I needed to get baptized. Because I'd repented. God commanded us, repent and be baptized. The next step was to get baptized in the water. Baptizo. Yeah, the best example is they say they take the coffee rusk and you dwip them and you beak it. You baptize your coffee rusk, your oma rusk. And you dip it under the water and you bring it up. That's what it is. Fully submission, fully submerged under the water. And I can't explain it, but one thing I know, something changed that day in my life. The day I got baptized, something was left behind. And then I began to read the Bible in Romans 6. It began to say, it was like your burial. You identified with the death of Christ. We sow in the natural, but God raises the supernatural. Something changed. I died with Christ under the waters. You can't explain it, but God does a work. I remember visiting one of my friends' baptism. He invited me. I wasn't a Christian. And I saw him getting baptized and it began to speak to me. He said, there's something different about this guy. He's not just any Christian. He looks like the real deal. The resurrection of Jesus Christ is attested by hundreds of eyewitnesses. 1 Corinthians 15 verse 3 to 8 speaks about it. Even to this day, there are testimonies upon testimonies. Historians. You go to Israel as well, you'll see. There is enough proof. There's irrefutable proof that he is the Savior of the world, that he died and he rose again. And I want you to know this morning that God loves you. That our God is bigger. With God, all things are possible. Like Adam, sin was passed on through the seed. In Christ, his resurrection life, the newness of life, is passed on through us in faith in Christ Jesus. Salvation is for every person. 1 Peter 1 verse 3, you can put the scriptures up. The Bible says, according to his great mercy, according to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope. How? How do we get this? Through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. The way I get born again is I believe Jesus died on a cross and I believe He's risen. Amen. Come on, you can say amen. That's good news this morning, family. Praise the Lord. That's goeie nuus. I get born again because I have a living hope that He died and He rose again. That He's the Son of God. That He came to this earth. He was the perfect Lamb. He's the Son of God. He wasn't just a good man. He wasn't just a prophet. He was the Son of God. He was born of a virgin. He came to this earth, lived a sinless life, suffered immensely on the cross for you and for me. God provided a way out for mankind in His condition. We all can see it, that the world is in problems. But Jesus said, behold, I've overcome those problems through Christ. 1 Corinthians 15 verse 34, Christ died for our sins in accordance with the Scriptures. In other words, it was prophesied in the Old Testament that God would send a Messiah, a Savior, who would die and He would take our place. We should have been on the cross, but He took our place. He died for our sins according to the Scripture. And then He was buried. But He wasn't just in the grave. He was raised on the third day in accordance with the Scriptures. The Scriptures, the Bible, prophesied that He would die and He would be risen again. 1 Corinthians 15 verse 21, for as by one man came death, that's Adam, by a man has come also the resurrection of the dead. Through one man's disobedience, Adam's disobedience, all became sinners. Just like that, Jesus is known as the second Adam, the last man. He came to take away and remove the sin, so that today we can stand before God blameless, forgiven. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise God. We are forgiven. We're not special. We are sinners that are saved by grace. Everything about our lives is that. That's why Paul said, I cannot boast. If I boast, I boast in God. It is the gift of God unto salvation. Say, Pastor, why are we preaching a salvation message on Resurrection Sunday? Because this is why He died. This is why He died. We celebrate Him. We worship Him. But we also have to understand that we carry a message. A very simple message. That even a child can understand it. That God loves us. And that He doesn't want us to live a life separated unto Him. But God does put before us life and death. He makes us choose. We are not robots. God doesn't shove His Christianity down our throats. He gives us life and He gives us choice. And even if you were born in a Christian family, my daughters, I have two lovely daughters. They have to make up their own decisions to follow Jesus. God has no grandchildren. He only has sons and daughters. Amen. God loves you this morning. And I want you to know, Psalm 23, a famous psalm of David. Verse 4 says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will not fear evil, for You are with me. Your rod and Your staff, they comfort me. You can go through the valley of the shadow of death without fear, because knowing that we are resurrected. I want you to know this morning that God sent His Son because He loved man. He did not send His Son to punish man. John 3 verse 17, 18 and 19 says that He did not come to destroy man. He came to save and rescue and redeem. That's why He paid the highest price. He gave His best. He gave His Son for mankind. And whoever would this morning, maybe you're sitting here today and you've never had the opportunity. Like me, 20 years ago, I never had the opportunity. I went to church. I was religious. But I thank God somebody was bold enough to challenge and to tell me the truth. And I'm not a Billy Graham this morning. But one thing about the Bible is it brings us to a place of decision. Maybe a little bit discomfort, awkwardness. But it brings us to a place of decision. Do I choose Jesus or don't I? There's no fence here. There's no middle ground. The day we live in today requires us. The Bible says, even in the book of Acts, that He's made us from one blood. He's made us from one blood, and He predetermined the times that we would be alive today. There's a reason you're alive today. On the 5th of April, 2026, He predetermined the times that we would be alive. And number two, He predetermined the boundaries where we would live. And I've shared the story many times in the church. You know that I didn't want to stay in Kimberley. Well, I wanted to leave Kimberley many years ago, but God said stay. Because God predetermined the boundaries for me and my wife to stay in Kimberley. He predetermined the times and the place. So there's a reason you're in Kimberley. To call upon His name, to follow Him, to be a child of God, born again. And like many of us, we come to church maybe with friends and family. And that day I made a decision. Not everybody made that same decision. But I had to make that decision to follow Jesus. I just want every head bowed, every eye closed. Nobody moving around, please. Let's just respect this time. We're in the house of God. Let's have a reverence for our God. He's just, He's merciful. While heads are bowed, eyes are closed, I want to ask you this morning, are you born again? Is there a day in your life where you've received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? Sir, ma'am, with respect. If not, then allow me the privilege and honor to pray with you. You're sitting here today, but you have no assurance of your salvation. You don't know where you will end up if you were to die today. I'm not saying you're going to die. But the gospel speaks very clearly about God's forgiveness. Now, we're in what we call the dispensation of grace. There will come a time where we cannot repent anymore. It's too late. But while we're alive today, we have the opportunity. This is why He died on the cross. And this is number two, why He rose. So that people can give their hearts to Jesus. That we can be reconciled. That we can have a new beginning. A new start. God wants to rewrite some of your stories. He doesn't only want to be part of your history. He wants to be part of your future. So while heads are bowed, eyes are closed, believers are praying, Christians are interceding. The Bible says in the book of Revelation, it says, I stand at the door of your heart and I knock. Whoever hears my words and opens up the door and allows me in, I will come and sup with him. Today is your day, sir, ma'am. Please don't leave this place not knowing. Make right with Jesus Christ, the blood of Jesus. You might say, but how can God forgive me? You don't know what I've done. Well, the Bible says there's nothing that the blood of Jesus cannot wash you from all your sins. He entered heaven with His own blood. He presented Himself as a true sacrifice. You don't have to slaughter animals and goats. Your best works are like filthy rags before God. Our faith is in the finished work on the cross. When He died on the cross, He said, it is paid in full. And while heads are bowed, eyes are closed, believers are praying, you say that there's a stirring in my heart. What's going on? It's the Holy Ghost. He's speaking to you. He's saying, come up. I've got more for you. There's a life with God. There's a life of adventure. There's a life of faith waiting on the other side of your obedience. There are other people waiting for your obedience. And the gifts of the Holy Spirit will flow and manifest in your life as you enter and become one with Jesus. He will pour out His Spirit upon you. Like Peter said in the book of Acts, the day of Pentecost, he stood up and he began to preach. And he said, this is what's written from the book of old, in the book of Joel chapter 2. He was speaking the Old Testament. He was saying, this is what was prophesied through the prophet Joel. He said, in the latter days, I will pour out my Spirit. I will pour out the Holy Ghost upon everybody, upon all flesh, every person, not only prophets, not only important people, every person who calls upon the name of the Lord shall receive the Holy Ghost. And your life will be changed. You will be empowered. You will be able to praise God with your hands lifted up, unashamed. There will be a fire in your heart that will take you places. The gifts and the calling of God will burn so deeply in your heart that you will become unstoppable. You will do things for God that other people would say, "How did you do it?" This is what happens when we encounter a true living God, like Moses did at the burning bush. He was in the backside of a desert. He was backslidden. He was out of the will of God until he encountered a burning bush, and God got his attention. He said, "Moses, take off your sandals. The place where you stand on is holy ground. Stop being so familiar with the things of God. I am God, and I've got your name. I know who you are, and I'm bigger than your problems. I'm bigger than your sin." That's why you nailed it to the cross. When you allow Jesus Christ into your heart, you become born again. You become a true believer. Like Jesus told Nicodemus in John 3, "Unless you are born again, you cannot enter or even see the kingdom of God." You're sitting here today, whoever you are, watching online. Allow me the privilege and the honor on this Resurrection Sunday. God doesn't make evil people good. He makes dead things come alive. Dead people. We were dead in our sins, but He resurrected. And today I can stand here today as a young man, maybe unqualified sometimes in people's eyes. Should be the last person standing here. Young insecure man who had a stuttering problem. I couldn't say three words without stuttering. I get by a gehakkel, but the Holy Ghost came and loosed my tongue. I'm standing here by the grace of God this morning, preaching to you. Tell you that God loves you. He has a plan with your life. But you have to allow Him into your heart. You don't come to Christ through your works. You come through Him through repenting of your sins and acknowledging that you need a Savior. You humble yourself before God so he can raise you up. A lot of people humble themselves before man, but they stand arrogantly before God. The Bible says, "Every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord and Savior." Now we come humbly, broken, and He fixes us. He washes us. He turns beggars into kings. He makes us a royal priesthood. Like the prodigal son, he was eating in the pigsty. He came to his senses and he realized, "What am I doing here? God has a much better plan. Even in my father's house, even the servants are eating better." Thank God he came home. Maybe for you that's coming home today. While heads are bowed, eyes are closed. As I close this morning, you're sitting here today. Well, there's a stirring in your heart. Forget the person next to you. Why don't you just indicate to me right there where you sit. Say, "Pastor, please pray for me. Pastor, bid for me as a blessing." Just slip up your hand right now while believers are praying. Thank you. Thank you for your boldness. Donkey. Thank you for truth. On my left hand side in the middle. God bless you. Donkey. Thank you. I see those hands. One last time. You haven't raised your hand, but you know you want to serve God. You want to do it His way. Then allow me to pray with you, please. Maybe you're a young student. Maybe you're a young boy, young girl today. You've come home for the holidays. You've been messing around. And you know you're on the path of destruction. But today God is speaking to you to make a new decision, a new trajectory for your life. Then please, let me pray for you. Why don't you slip up your hand as well? You want a new beginning. Thank you. Right across this place, all around you. Thank you. Donkey. Bye, donkey. Thank you. Family, why don't you look at me, please? Every one of you amazing people. Yeah, in the mother's room, in this auditorium, on my left, on my right. I know there are many of you here today. Many of you raised your hands. Listen, I need you to do one more thing for me, please. This is never to embarrass you. But it's to help us conclude this session, this message, the gospel. We're going to sing a beautiful song in a moment on this Resurrection Sunday. I want you all to please, respectfully, stand with us. And as we sing, all the wonderful people that raised your hands, please make your way to the nearest altar. Just come meet me here. It's the altar. It's a place of surrender. Why don't you just come? Just come. You can come now, please. Call on the name that can set you free. Come to Jesus. come and meet us in the front here, please. Thank you for coming up. Thank you. Listen, Noah was a preacher of righteousness. He built an ark for 120 years. Not one got saved except his family. We're living in a time called the dispensation of grace. When the first drops fell, the door was closed. We have a responsibility. Please understand, as a church, we're a family. But we have a responsibility as believers to win the lost at any cost, to testify, to talk to our families. Sometimes you have to be the unpopular one. If you want to keep everybody happy, go sell ice cream. But if you want to be an effective preacher, an effective Christian, Jesus said, don't lose your light, don't lose your salt. Speak the truth in love. With grace, don't water it down. Amen. Why don't you stretch out your hands towards these wonderful people. Thank you to every one of you for coming out. We're so proud of every one of you. I'm going to lead you in a simple prayer this morning. I want to ask you to please place your hand on your heart and say this loud enough that you can hear your own words. It's your prayer. I'm just leading you in it. You can say with me. Say, Lord Jesus, this morning, I repent of all my sins and I receive your forgiveness. I believe that you are the Son of God, that you came from heaven to die on a cross for all my sins. You went to hell, you conquered the grave, and on the third day, the Father resurrected you. I publicly acknowledge you before heaven and hell and in this church today that I believe and I receive you, Jesus, as my Lord and my Savior. From this day forward, come into my heart. I give you all the right to be everything you are to me as Savior. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Come on, let's give God a hand. That's amazing. Thank you.